Welcome, everybody. We invite you to pull up a chair, kick off your shoes, and listen to some great sales stories today from your own personal pioneer, Will Crist, as he wanders the world in search of the latest techniques and technologies that will let you blaze new trails in today's new world of sales. It all starts right about now. And here he is, your personal sales pioneer, Will Crist.
Well, welcome to the show today. We've got a very good show lined up for you. We're finding a lot of interesting things because the Pilgrim on the 405 is doing a lot more listening these days than talking. And what I'm hearing from business owners and from salespeople is that the habits of buyers are changing. No one knows that more clearly than business owners and salespeople who make their living finding opportunities to offer their products and services. As the competition goes up, as the marketplace changes, salespeople and business owners have to change too. There's not any master plan out there. Sometimes we make it up as we go. Sometimes we reflect on it, being able to make some changes. There's some patterns that are emerging. I had the privilege of being on a panel a couple of months ago at Tech Biz Connection with a few sales VPs, a few business owners, and we were talking about sales 2.0, talking about how sales have changed and what's going on with buyers. What we concluded is that in this digital age, people are developing preferences for how they want to be communicated with. It's not up to the business owner or the salesperson to decide how to communicate. As sellers, it becomes our responsibility to learn these preferences and to use them, to find out what it is that people want to get from us in terms of information, in terms of relationship, in terms of trust. What's going to help them move along that continuum from not knowing who to trust, not knowing what solutions are available, not knowing what to purchase, to the place where they trust us as providers looking out for their best interests, where they're willing to purchase to solve their problems. In addition, I'm also hearing that power is shifting from sellers to buyers. Buyers come much more prepared to do business. They don't want to be sold. They don't need to be sold. They come looking for solutions, and first of all, they come looking to find out if they can trust us. On which side of the table are we sitting? Are we sitting across from the table, ready to arm wrestle them for a few dollars? Or are we sitting alongside them on the same side of the table, looking out at the problem, seeing if we can solve it? It's a new world for buyers and sellers. And that's what we're exploring on the Pilgrim on the 405 and Pilgrim Talks. We're looking around to find what other people have found in this marketplace. We're getting ready to bring on two people who've spent some time in Southern California over the past 6 years after graduating from Cal State University at Fullerton. Desiree and Kathy at DSL Advertising are people who spent time looking and listening and talking to buyers to find out exactly what's going on. And this new digital marketplace has been a very creative playpen for them. So I want to introduce you to two people that I think are extremely creative and ready to talk to small businesses about how they can begin to approach buyers in a new way. So, Des and Kathy, are you there?
We sure are.
Yes, we are.
Great. Well, I understand from Paul that you are in a great mood to have this conversation.
Oh, but definitely. Yeah,
it's our passion. Tell us a little bit about DSL and how DSL came to be the powerhouse that it is in helping sellers find new buyers.
Well, this is Desiree. I'd like to correct you. It is DSYL. But we use if we encourage people to use DSL or T1 for their internet connection. What we do is we have found that traditional advertising and media is, you know, kind of gone, as I call it, by way of the dodo. It still works, but you have to keep on the pulse of what's going on today in the world. And right now, it's all about electronic media and a lot of social networking. And basically, if you're not doing it and your competition is, then you're missing out. And so we have found a lot of people and our clients that are very interested in learning more about it, and we've helped them and encouraged them to delve into that arena.
Well, that's wonderful. Can you help me understand a little bit about how you determine where a small business should begin?
Well, typically, when we meet with any client, the first thing that we do is we kind of see what they do, what their goals are, and from there try and put together a plan for them, figure out who they're targeting and what types of media would work best. If, you know, if direct mail is the right choice, then put together a plan for direct mail. But if e-blast and social networking is a better choice, include that as well. A lot of times what we do is it's a cafeteria style, so figure out what their budget is, what they can afford, and then as time goes on, they become more successful, increase their advertising efforts from there.
Now, I have heard from a number of business owners, especially business owners who are, shall we say, 50 and older, who are looking around at the change in the marketplace. Have you noticed a change in the marketplace over the last 3 years?
Oh, absolutely. Everything is so much more viral, and it is a scary and a daunting thing for people who are 50 and older because they didn't grow up with a computer. When I first started, I was doing pay stub, and so I kind of had to learn and evolve. But what we found is that a lot of people, it scares them and it's overwhelming to them. And so what we try to do is encourage business owners to kind of take it in baby steps and start with get a business listing on every business listing site there is on the internet. You can Google that and just blanket your name out there. You should be able to be on so many different applications. My favorite example is with my husband, who is a veterinarian, and I told him he needed to be on Yelp. And, oh, yeah, no, no. So, I had to do it for him. And so, lo and behold, the past, I'd say, 6 months, he's probably gotten a good 25 people from Yelp that at least have told him by just me putting some information and asking a few of his clients to write recommendations. And now people will go to him and say, gosh, what can I do? You're so awesome. What can I do? Well, then he tells them, go on Yelp. Go on some of these sites and review me. And so people are really starting to rely on the word of mouth and other people's feelings. And it's just amazing how the power of this is affecting a lot of small businesses.
I heard from a business owner a couple of weeks ago. He said, I understand all of this, but I still don't understand why I should do it.
That's a really common question. A lot of times people don't see the value in doing, you know, social media or any type of online advertising, primarily because they're just not familiar with it. And you know, I read an article the other day that Facebook is now a more recognized search engine than MSN. And I thought that was huge. And if a business didn't have something on Facebook, then they were missing out because people are searching more there than they are on Yahoo and MSN. So it's if people are afraid of it and they don't understand the value, that right there was a huge testament to me.
So the answer to the question, why do it, is because that's where the customers are.
Yes. Very well paraphrased.
Yeah. I think who was it that was asked, why is it there's a bank robber and why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is.
Yeah, so, and, I mean, pretty much any company, anytime someone's going to do research on a company, if unless it's a referral, they're going to go look on them for the internet. Mm-hmm. And by having all these different outlets, as Des had alluded to, you know, the different business listings, when someone searches your name or your company or the type of service, your company will pop up in multiple different various ways.
Now, one of the things that I've discovered in working with people who've been in business for a while, who've gone through this significant sea change in the marketplace, as we have a variety of ways to communicate with people, as the power of the information power shifts from the sales rep or the business owner to the buyer, as these changes happen, one of the things that I've noticed is that people can get very excited and very confused at the same time by trying to do everything all at once. Mm-hmm. Where should somebody begin? I mean, should they actually begin with a marketing plan, an idea about what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, the very first place that they need to begin is through establishing goals.
Uh-huh.
Most clients don't even know what they want to do. They hear this great idea and they don't understand if it's even going to hit their goals. Once those goals are established, then, you know, you want to put together, figure out, okay, this is your goal. Who do we have to target for you to hit this goal? And then you come up with a plan.
Uh-huh. So number one is find out where you want to go. What's your goal? What's mm-hmm. the purpose of this exercise?
Correct.
And number two, who do you need to talk to? Who do we need to have a conversation with? And it is conversations, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now more than ever.
So how do we make conversations happen? Once we have a goal, once we've identified our niche, once we've identified the people we want to talk to, how can we encourage people, attract people into having conversations with us?
Well, there's multiple ways. It depends what their goal and target is. But let's say if they're targeting other businesses, primarily the other business owners, a good way of creating the conversation is making that initial step to contact them. Maybe it's through an e-blast, or maybe it's, which is an email, you know, that goes out to an individual that has maybe some kind of imagery or a focus of a campaign, and sending that out and having, you know, maybe once a month or once a quarter, just having a consistent message that goes out to the target market. Other ways to do that is through blogging on their own website or doing the social networking or maybe if it works for them, even doing direct mail. It just depends what their goal is and what medium would work best for that type of business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little bit of a cold here. One of the things, this is Desiree, you really want to do is become the go-to person in your industry. The whole goal, besides the original goal that you have in mind, the reason that, and one of the things that will make you successful in doing this type of advertising and promotion, at least through social media, is becoming the expert. And so what happens is, you, whether it's through Twitter and your blog, or telling people, giving people information and letting them know that you get it. And then by that same token, people start talking about you and you become the such and such person. So whether it's the insurance guy or whether it's the contractor or whether it's you're the go-to guy or gal for that particular industry. So ideally what you want to do is blanket yourself out there, but you do it in baby steps. And that's what Kathy was saying about the cafeteria style, coming up with some sort of a plan of attack and saying, okay, we'll start with the business listings. Now how about if we try doing some sort of e-blasts? And in fact, we had a client recently that we sent out an e-blast for them, and it was so successful that they actually canceled their direct mail campaign because they were so inundated they could barely handle the volume of work. It was so exciting. And and they were able to track that by the 800 number that they were able to use.
So testing is an important part of any program, even in online marketing.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're not going to track what you're doing, then how do you know? How can you measure what your return on your investment is? You absolutely should have some sort of methodology of how you're going to track it.
And even if you are trying to do a specific type of, let's say you're sending out e-blasts and you keep on doing it, but you're not tracking it, it could be, you know, failing miserably, but yet you're still spending all this money and time and your resources in getting this message out there when it's not even working. So might as well focus your time on something that does.
And that's one of the real advantages of digital marketing, isn't it? I mean, you can track it fairly easily.
Kathy, you were talking about the analytics?
Well, most websites nowadays are set up with Google Analytics. What a lot of social networking sites are doing is also setting up analytics with the business pages. Facebook, for example, will send weekly emails to the creators of the fan pages to let them know how many visits they've had, how many fans they have, how many interactions. So they know if, you know, maybe they post on Tuesdays, they got more people coming that day, or maybe a post on the weekend was better for them. So they're able to test which days are good to make that conversation and get themselves out there.
So, for instance, if we were going to use Twitter and to make an announcement about a posting, we could actually measure how many people came because of, you know, or those associated with that tweet.
Yeah, you can measure through, if you have a specific 800 number, you can track those, listen to phone conversations, and record all of that information. If you have a specific email, you can track it through your email system. You create a specific landing page that's on your website. Your Google Analytics will track where people are coming from and what page they're going to. You're right. It makes it much easier to track anything that's online or electronic than in the printed world.
Good. So what we've got, let's see if we can pick up the pattern here. Number one, know what you want to accomplish. And this can be fairly narrow. It doesn't have to be the whole world, but know what kinds of things you want your online marketing, your social media marketing, what you want to accomplish. Number two, find that niche of people. Find that group of people that's the target for this particular campaign, for this particular set of conversations. Number three, put a plan together to execute and be sure to test.
Absolutely.
Now, what would be, to me, how would we, once we completed the campaign, once we establish some conversations, what would be some ways to deepen the conversation, to continue the conversation? How would we extend this from that, just that initial email blast or that particular campaign? What are some things that we could do online to keep the conversation going for an extended period of time?
Well, some things that you want to do, a lot of times people will, you know, start the conversation, get their message out there, but then they don't monitor it. So people could, you know, be responding to them and they're completely missing it. So the first thing is to monitor and maintain what you've put out there. Secondly, is to, you know, modify your plan based off the testing that you've done. If something's working, then let's put more effort towards what's working.
Now, we've talked a little bit about blogs. We've talked about a little bit about Twitter. We talked about email. What are some other innovative, creative ways that you can use to have digital conversations with people?
Well, we're a really big fan of Facebook pages for businesses because you can invite people to join them and send out announcements to people about events that maybe you would be having. We have one client that's an optometrist that we helped set up their page, their business page, included images of their office, and we actually helped them with giving him some insight on information that he should post on a monthly basis, and then he supplements that. And so whenever he has trunk shows or special events, now that's B2C. For B2B, it still works well, and LinkedIn is probably one of our other favorites for business to business, because I'm constantly surprised at how much people are wanting to help each other. When you connect with someone, it's because they want to grow their business and as much as you want to grow yours. And so it's a really a win-win situation when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you advocate people using video?
Video is actually becoming a much, much more recognized and used application for websites. And also you can, it shows up on when you're, somebody Googles, it has that you can see that there's a video and it gets a lot higher click-through rates.
Yeah. The reason for that is that YouTube is a Google-owned product. So when someone has a video on YouTube and then it's linked to their site, it just increases the ranking of their site when searched in search engines.
Now, in the past, producing video has been extremely expensive. For a small business owner, it's practically out of the question. Do you have some suggestions for how to make video accessible for the small business owner?
Well, what's funny that you say that, because there are some small studios that are local that can offer that kind of a service if they want a higher end. But what we found is that often, again, depending on if you're giving testimonials or if you're giving product information, there's two different angles on how high end you want. A lot of times on the testimonials, if it's too slick, then it seems contrived. And so there's oftentimes where, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of this, but it's kind of neat. There was a client that actually used to send video cameras, little cheap video cameras, to their clients and ask them to do a testimonial. And then they were able to put that up on their website, so it became genuine and real. So there's kind of a fine line that you ride when you're doing your video, but there is a lot of smaller photography studios, even in Orange County, that do offer services for creating videos that are much more cost-effective.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, when you talk about the video, kind of the homegrown video being more authentic, that suggests to me this whole idea of how important it is to have trust and authenticity in today's marketplace.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really what we have found, even with not only social networking online, but we also are very big proponents of going to network groups and joining different meetings and functions and events. And we ourselves belong to different ones, and we encourage our clients to do so as well. And a lot of times, one of the big ways that a lot of B2B people get business is through referrals. And so referrals is an absolutely huge way we get a lot of our business. And the only way someone's going to refer us to someone is if they trust us and they know that we can deliver and that we're going to make them look good for giving the referral. So it's absolutely key to trust and believe in the person that you're referring, so that it will just come back around. And so we've actually, we belong to a group called BNI, and that's just an amazing networking group, and their whole philosophy is giver's gain. And we have absolutely found that to be true.
Well, isn't it interesting that authenticity years ago had something to do with slickness and high video production values? And today, authenticity might mean a shaky video shot on a flip video camera posted on YouTube.
Definitely has the dynamic has definitely changed. And, I mean, look at commercials from the 50s to what they are now. It's just the audience is becoming more sophisticated, and you know, a lot of people have Photoshop. So if you're in different programs that you can do videos and high-end things, but it's just that fine line. And I think truly the bottom line is the message and making sure that what message that you are giving is genuine and real.
And on that too, the as far as anyone doing it on their own, you know, I like to use this analogy a lot, that everyone can pick up a paintbrush, but not everyone is an artist. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make sure that if you are going to do it on your own, that you understand how to create something that's going to target the right audience and send the right message, as Des had mentioned.
And have it a call to action. You know, I've actually seen advertisements by people who tried to do it on their own. They had a person in their office that they called a marketing person, which wasn't a marketing person, and they had them do graphics, and they didn't have a phone number. They didn't have a call to action, meaning, you know, call us today, or any type of sense of urgency. So there's a few key items that, as Kathy was saying, you don't want to necessarily completely go out on your own, but if you're going to do that, do some research and make sure that you're making sure that you're hitting all the touch points that you need to.
Well, good. Tell us a little bit about DSYL and what you can offer a small business, just before we leave.
Well, DSYL, we're at heart a advertising and graphic design firm. What we do for clients is help them figure out what they need to do, and we work primarily with small to mid-sized businesses. We are ourselves a small to mid-sized business, so we understand the trials and tribulations that these businesses go through and how to help them achieve their goals. So basically what we do is we'll set up a meeting with a client, and if they need to figure out what their goals are, and then put together that cafeteria style plan for them. So that's basically what we do. And if we can't help them, then we let them know that, you know, they're doing everything right and, you know, keep on doing it.
So somebody finds that they can't help, they can't use you, no is okay.
No is okay. That's the second best thing I can hear.
Good.
Yes,
how would people get in touch with you?
Well, a number of ways. They can find out more information on our website, which is www.dsyl.net, or they can email us. Our general email is info@dsyl.net. The final way is they can call me, as I manage most of the accounts for the agency, and my number is 714-446-1968, extension 204.
And that website again?
It's www.dsyl.net.
Well, that's wonderful. Des and Kathy, we thank you very much for sharing your insights with small businesses and small business owners. Things are changing out there. They need all the help they can get, and I really appreciate the enthusiasm and the competence that you bring to the marketplace. So we look forward to talking with you again sometime.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much for your time.
Great. And there we are. We have some interesting things coming up because some of Kathy and Dez's clients are going to be with us to talk a little bit about how they've applied the insights that Kathy and Desiree have shared with them. And while we're waiting for them, I want to talk to you a little bit about a wonderful book called Sales 2.0 by Anna Kiseli and Britt Holloway. Some of the insights that Sales 2.0 brings to us is that customers' communications preferences are changing. The very fact that a customer might have a communication preference is essential today, whether they want to communicate by email, get information through a PDF or a blog, whether they want to listen to a podcast or a radio show. Maybe they would rather see video, which increasingly seems to be the preference of many people. But finding out how your customers want to be communicated with, finding out how they want to buy, because more and more of the power of buying is moving from the seller to the buyer. And even though we've heard a lot of conversation about driving people to a website, I would suggest that we begin to scratch out the word drive and begin to substitute the word attract. What we're really attempting to do is to attract people into a conversation, to attract people into desiring the kind of information that we have for them, to find those people who are looking for what we have to offer. There's millions of people out there right now looking for you, looking for a conversation with you, looking for information that you have, looking for solutions that your products and services bring. Our task as sellers is to find those people, to get in front of them, and to be attractive to them so that they will come to us and be willing to talk and begin to build that relationship of trust. Once the trust is there, we can begin to listen for what hopes and dreams and expectations they might have. Because that trust, responsiveness, and authenticity is the basis for the conversations that we have out there on the internet. Now, I want to introduce you to a couple of people who are clients of Desiree and Kathy. And these two people, Robert McNider and Carrie Facer, have been involved with helping companies retain their employees, build their retirement plans, and helping with financial services. So I want to introduce Robert and Carrie. Are you there?
We are. How you doing?
Well, good. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, Will, first we got to start off with a little part of our business as a disclaimer, as compliance has asked us to do. So, Robert?
We'd just like to let you both know that both Carrie and I are registered representatives and offer securities, investment advisory, and financial planning services through MML Investor Services, Inc.
With that said, what did you ask, Will?
Well, knowing that we're not going to be selling securities today.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about how you guys got into the business.
Well, I'll go first, and this is Carrie talking. I came out of the construction industry. My dad's been in it for 30-plus years. And after graduating, I worked construction with my dad. We started a business together. And after about 3 years, the joke is I learned just enough about construction not to work in it anymore. And my aha moment, really was just watching television one time when I was really trying to do some soul searching. What is it that I want to do? What do I want to do with my career? And there was a TIA Cref commercial or something. It said, talk to your financial planner. And I said, that's it. And since then, I've never looked back. And really, 3 years ago, what I started doing was creating a practice that I could take back to the guys like my dad, the guys like his friends, the guys that I worked with in construction, just because those are the guys that I felt the biggest connection to really help. And we've been very, very fortunate, in the short run here. And Robert and I's role is, I'll let Robert tell his story, but we've been working together just because he comes from a similar background, but he's been doing this a lot longer than I have. So, Robert.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. And, I've been in the business, it'll be 10 years in July, and I was fortunate to work in college and have a couple internships in the industry that gave me a little bit of a taste in my mouth of what the industry had to offer, and made a decision that this was a direction that I wanted to go, where I could, do a couple things. I could not only provide services and solutions for people, but more importantly, I could be in a business where I could create, cultivate, and build relationships with people that would be ongoing, where as those relationships developed, new sources of referrals, introductions, revenue would come along with doing, what was right for my clients and our business owners along the line. So that's a quick brief synopsis of how I got in the business and why I'm in it.
Well, great. Now, we just got through talking with Kathy and Desiree, and I don't know if you got to hear what we were talking about, but we were discussing how business has changed in the last couple of years. Have you noticed any change in the way the business community is working?
Absolutely. Yeah, and Will, this is Kerry. I consider myself lucky. I started 3 years ago, and so when I started, I mean, this was the beginning of the downturn, and I really, this is all I've known. So I've never really had, you know, I didn't have the 04, 05, 06 run where, you know, fish, you know, were just jumping into the boat. And with that said, though, I think, you know, you kind of alluded to the fact of working with DSYL and is trying to bring a new way of cultivating business and relationships, and that is through the social media. And that's something that Robert, you know, had not really been aware of, and I you know, had Desiree not basically told me exactly, hey, you need to start doing this, we probably wouldn't have. But it's been huge because we've been able to go out there, and for myself, with little or no cost at all except for time, be able to get the word out there, hey, this is what we do, this is who we're looking to meet. And then once those relationships are started, I've been able to partner up with Robert and bring the 10 years experience to the table. And it's just been a real, you know, real win-win situation.
So then what we were talking about with Kathy and Desiree was, number one, you had to figure out what it is that you wanted to accomplish. Did you do that? Did you have a set of goals that you wanted to achieve?
Absolutely. Yeah, we did. And Robert, I mean, you're more goal oriented than I was, obviously, because you were doing a lot longer. But
yeah, and what one of the things that Kerry and I did, and we've had numerous conversations, and this is something that started like Kerry mentioned about 3 years ago. You know, we set realistic expectations. You know, a lot of the things that we talk to and do with our own clients is said, okay, what are our expectations? 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 years. What is, you know, projected future growth? What are the areas and the markets that we're going to be targeting? What are some of the services that we can provide to those markets, from the business owner to the key employee to the rank and file employee? What are the different revenue streams that can be generated from that? And, you know, that's when we just went out and we said, okay, now that we kind of have identified the markets, the people, the services that we can provide to them, let's go out and work that target market with a list of people that we want to talk to and be in front of.
So you set the goals that you had. You identified where you wanted to be, and a good thing is that you started with the end in mind.
Absolutely.
And then number two, you identified the niche. You identified the group of people you wanted to talk to. Now,
yes,
was that difficult?
I don't think so. And Robert, you can tell me different, but I think some people fall into their niche, you know, and I kind of fell into it. But I also realized that I needed to create a niche because I think there's really a need for specialists in this world we live in, not jack of all trades. And so I go back to the niche I knew, and now that I created that in my mind and in my forecast for my own business, it's slowly developed into a bigger thing that I had originally planned on.
And in my case, I wish I was as lucky as Kerry. I spent the first couple years trying to hit and work with anyone and everyone I could. And as time went on, I found that the majority of my revenue source and the people I really enjoyed working with were in the market that Kerry and I are actually now working in. It's where I related to people. We had the most common interest. I was in front of decision makers. And those were just the people that I felt most comfortable with. And so in terms of us, you know, identifying our niche together, once we had, you know, more than one casual conversation, I think we realized that a lot of the people that we are targeting, identify with, relate to, have common interests, were in that same market.
Okay, so that's good. So identifying the niche, identifying the people. Now, the next step would be to come up with a plan. Did you have a plan?
Plan in progress.
All right.
Yeah, no, we do have a plan. But it's slow, you know, you got to be careful, you know, and this was
listening to the conversation before, is how much do you how much do you chew off at a time, because it can be overwhelming and too much at once, and you can spend yourself out of this business trying to market and advertise and buy lunches for everybody you meet. And we really, like I said, plan in progress, but yeah, slowly we have. I mean, we've got involved with a good effort in one association specifically, and it's the American Subcontractors Association. And before we had a plan or an idea, we really didn't know these associations existed. But as we said, you know, let's just target these groups of people as we have the common interests and the similarities, and we work well together. Everything started evolving. The plans kind of started taking its own course and creating itself and bringing us opportunities we just didn't know were out there.
And to follow up on that, in terms of an actual plan, I mean, we have, you know, numbers down to the dollar in terms of what we want to do and what we can do and what we see, you know, eventually evolving. But a lot of that, unless there's action that's put in place, you know, just remains a number on a spreadsheet. But I think we know, you know, who we want to work with, where we want to go, some of the things that we can do in terms of helping them out with the services that we provide. But, you know, we, out of that list of people that we've identified, you know, we're slowly but surely getting the introductions and having those engaging conversations that are leading to conversations about business.
So tell me a little bit about how you've used online marketing, social media, digital marketing. What sorts of things have you actually done now, Kerry?
Well, how much time do we have, Will? Because I got to share a quick story.
Go ahead.
And this goes back to DSYL. Desiree over there, she'd been telling me for a long time, you got to get on Facebook. You got to get on Facebook. And I said, you know, I just don't know if I have the time. I don't know if it's worth it. And I finally said, okay, I'll do it. And the interesting story was, and it has nothing to do with our practice, but how it's worked so quickly. And this is something new that we're doing, and it's been about a year now, but it's starting to gain a lot of traction. Is I had lost, we did a scuba diving trip, and I had lost a camera, a digital camera, and came home, and we were really upset about it. It was an underwater camera. It wasn't good. And that was on a Saturday, and Monday I got a phone call, and somebody said, did you lose a camera? And I said, well, yeah, how did you find out? Well, somebody had tracked me down through finding our camera, found my picture, found a picture with my name in it, and found me on Facebook and was able to hunt us down. They got the camera back to us, and this was about 2 weeks after I opened my Facebook account. And the first person I called was Desiree and said, hey, guess what? Facebook is already paying off. And, it, you know, but that in a nutshell is what it's about is getting your name out there so people can find you easily. And since then, it's, you know, and it takes time. It's, you don't get 1,000 contacts your first day on LinkedIn. So it's a work in progress, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, people are understanding now that we are creating a niche, because the LinkedIn, the Facebook, obviously that's my personal, compliance, and the SEC doesn't allow us to market on that, but we do a lot on LinkedIn. So we're able to create the word, and hey, we are specialists. We're working in this industry. This is what we do. And that way, when people, because the truth is, I think when you meet someone, the first thing you do is you Google their name, try to find out some credibility factor. Mm-hmm. And if they can see, oh, wow, they actually are in this niche. Oh, wow, they actually do have some connections with some other business owners they said they knew. And it just adds to credibility, which is huge in this environment. You need to have the trust.
And I know personally for me, one of the things is, for example, on your website, when you have testimonies from clients, you know, other clients, people you may be talking to, prospects, they may go to your website and they see a handful of names that they may recognize in an industry that they're familiar with or a company that they respect. And so that is a way to, you know, to gain some trust with them through that, you know, through that website, through the media outlet.
So building a sense of authenticity, building trust, building accessibility, helping people to conclude that you are indeed who you say you are, what you say you are, and that you have a track record.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's that's huge with everything that's gone on in our business. And you know, like I said, again, I was lucky to start when it was, you know, not at the best timing. But it's the most important thing I personally think right now is trust. And mm-hmm. if you can add a little element here, a little element there, and create that cohesive, you know, feeling when somebody says, you know, who are Robert and Carrie? Yeah, these guys say they do this, they say they do that. And the truth is they're going to look at your website. They're going to look at your LinkedIn. They're going to look at your all your information. It's going to come up quick with the Internet. You know, I mean, Google is huge. And we want to mm-hmm. be able to attract, you know, the same feeling, whether it's through the website or in person or a friend introduces us. And it all has that same overall effective ability to create the level of trust.
All right. So you've used Facebook, you've used LinkedIn. What else have you used?
Well, that actually kind of, right now we're in the middle of getting a couple of websites launched. So we're getting that. And unfortunately, our industry's compliance works about as fast as the DMV does. So everything takes time. And like you said, you have to be careful how much you bite off, you know, at any given moment, just because it does take time to do this. But, you know, compliance really only will. We're really allowed to use LinkedIn right now and our website. Mm-hmm. That's the two areas. But what I've done is do the Facebook, because there's ways to create little connections between the two. And if you can build a huge amount of Facebook friends through all your, you know, grade school classmates, they'll eventually see your LinkedIn. They'll eventually go to your website. And while, like I said, you know, compliance issues, we're only allowed to do the LinkedIn in our websites. There are other ways to attract people to your pages.
Yeah, and I've had my website for about 2 years right now. It's in the process of being updated, but that's the one thing that I've primarily had in terms of the media outlet.
Well, I have a question for you. Have you guys ever thought about doing a radio show?
aren't we?
Yeah,
we'd
love to.
I mean, an ongoing radio show where you're interviewing some of your clients, sharing some information about financial planning.
I would love that. We haven't discussed that, but I know that's something that Carrie and I think would absolutely love.
Yeah, no, it would, Will. When I told Robert about this opportunity, he was pretty excited and absolutely. We're always open to hearing new ideas, and I just think that the way business is going to be done from here on out and for forever is going to be different from the way it was done before. And if it's radio, if it's you know, internet radio, if it's a Skype meetings, doing, you know, business over Skype, whatever it is, there's a lot of other methods than the old, you know, 40 years ago, just, you know, kitchen table work.
Yeah, and I think one of the really, you know, exciting things in our business, like Carrie just mentioned, doing things like having webinars or teleconferences or WebExes where you're online on Skype on things like that. I think it also is a way to be a lot more efficient with your time. As a small business owner, it can help lower your overhead. It can increase efficiency. You know, my dad always said the only constant is change. And I think, you know, being a small business owner, entrepreneur, you gotta address change and accept change and move with change, even though, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. But, you know, I think it's an exciting time. I think it, you know, I'm excited, about the direction of being a small business owner and where our practice is going, and, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Now, if you had a megaphone and you could, speak to people under 40, who are business owners or are starting a business, what would you tell them based upon what you've learned in the past couple of years of working together?
I would say there's no silver bullet. You really have to do it all, and you have to make the sacrifices to be a business owner. And when we, you know, just like, you know, tonight, I imagine Robert's going to be here till probably 8 or 9 o'clock, and myself, just because we've got stacks and stacks of paperwork on our desk that we've been, you know, going through. And you have to do it all. and you have to make the sacrifices. And unless you're willing to make the sacrifices, you know, there's a huge difference between being an employee and being a business owner. And my parents, my mother was an employee. My father was always an entrepreneur and a business owner, and that's just what I always understood. But you have to make the sacrifices and really give up the extras if you want to be successful at this.
And to add to that, some of the things that I would tell someone if they were under 40, I would say, you know, first and foremost, along with those goals, those objectives, know your timeline, have open lines of communication with those clients, customers that you plan on working with, because they are going to be your lifeline. Surround yourself with some good advisors in terms of a CPA and an attorney that you trust. You can bounce ideas off. Don't be afraid to utilize some of your best clients to help you with your business plans, your own projections, because they are people that have been there are going through it. You know, in my personal case myself, it's been extremely important to have a supportive spouse and family that understands the sacrifices and is appreciative of what it takes to grow a business over 5, 10, 20, 30 years. And enjoy it. Enjoy what you do, because if you don't enjoy what you do, it's not worth it. You know, I don't feel like I go to work every day. You know, I feel like I'm going somewhere where I enjoy what I do and I get to communicate and build and work and grow a practice.
Yeah, and Will, wonderful. I'll add one more thing in what Robert said, and this is the other thing. Don't do it alone. There's so many great people out there that you can partner up with and team up with, whether it's DSYL or if it's, you know, for myself, it's Robert. There's people out there who are willing to help you, and you just have to be able to ask for the help. And it's not always going to be a winner right away. You got to just keep going and keep going, and eventually you're going to find some people you work real well with. And it might be an old friend's father who had a successful business, and you say, you know, let me take you to lunch and pick your brain for a few minutes, and find a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Now, you guys are looking for construction people.
Absolutely.
That's your niche?
Yes, it is.
So if we had somebody out there listening who wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They could do that a variety of ways. They could contact us on our phone and ask for either Carrie or myself. They could call us at 949-660-1771, or they could go to our website. My website I plan to have up and running Thursday morning again, www.rlmfinancial.net. And when you call, if you do call, you can just ask for either Carrie or myself, and our receptionist will patch you right through.
And I got to correct Robert, because I did hear a number that was off there, and this is why we work well together. The number is 949-660-1717. And like you said, ask for a Carrier Robert. We're always here.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm always excited to hear people who have crossed that digital divide and are using all these things to attract conversations. So
right.
Thanks a lot, Robert. Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
Have a great evening.
You bet. And so there we are. You got a plan. You got a niche. You got some ways of testing. And then you got some ways of developing that conversation and keeping it going. That's the new marketplace. That's that marketplace where all of a sudden customers have preferences about how to communicate. They have choices. And they just expect that sellers are going to adjust to what their preferences are. Lots of power now is in the hands of the buyers. So that means sellers need to be listening a lot more than talking. And then finally, meeting that increased demand for trust, responsiveness, and authenticity. It's not always the high quality video that's going to attract attention. Sometimes it's the shaky flip video that's in the hands of someone looking for a testimonial. So there we are. Those are the kind of things that the Pilgrim on the 405 has been discovering in the past week. Keep looking, keep listening, keep watching, keep trying something new. There are opportunities out there in Orange County far in excess of what your needs are. You'll find them as you become more attractive, as you become more open, more responsive, and create those situations where people can quickly trust you and find access to you through things like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, YouTube, audio, radio, an enormous number of ways. Don't take them on all at once. Find some people to help you mentor, and that's part of what the Pilgrim on the 405 is helping people to do in a series of classes that we're doing to help people get conversations from online marketing. A new class will be starting in a couple of weeks. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more about it. So, again, for this evening, have a great evening for you. This is the Pilgrim on the 405 going back out for more conversations.
You've been listening to the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, Will Crist, right here on octalkradio.net.